Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. Open loops. You must listen to the open loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open loops.
Not the first time Will Smith has done something like this. How about when Robin Williams died, and then he decided to play the live-action version of the Genie? Talk about a smack in the face that hurt everyone. Now that we got that obligatory moment out of the way, welcome to Open Loops, Conversations That Bend. I am your chief looper, your consciousness disruptor, your cultural hypnotist, Greg Bornstein. We hit a benchmark the other day, and I went by it quick because I don't always like to make big deals of these things, but we surpassed 200 episodes of this podcast, and I wanted to return a little bit to the loop origin story. I wanted to reflect, you know, I'm really glad if you're listening now for the first time, if you've listened to any show previously, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for staying with me. I appreciate it. I know this show is sporadic. That's by design. One of my favorite cartoon shows is The Animaniacs. And what I loved about that show growing up more than anything else was its commitment to spontaneity. Yes, you had the core Animaniac sketch with Yakko, Warner, and Dot. And by the way, if you haven't ever watched an episode of The Animaniacs, the original, the one from 93, check it out. It's brilliant. It holds up. Some of the, you know, it's got old Hollywood references, but still really funny. Let me tell you something, though. That show really inspired me to believe that bringing disparate worlds together. I love when I have a guest that says, I'm a Reiki healer, I'm a trapeze artist, and I founded the Mormon Church. Great. I love that. I really do, because to jump around like that, to have the cross disciplines and to cross contextualize, map over from one field to another, that's just fancy neurolinguistic programming and I don't know, talk, human potential talk, personal development talk. But yeah, cross contextual experiences. I'm gonna try not to loop you all too much, though. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. I don't even remember the first thing I was talking about. Don't worry, I do. I'm messing with you. So, as I was saying, the Animaniacs had the core sketches. They had the Pinky and the Brain. They had Slappy the Squirrel. Lots of good feathers, really good sketches. But there was never any order. You never knew when they were going to come on. You never knew if the Warners were just going to do an all-musical bit or they were going to do a movie parody. It was constant chaos. So when I started this show, the ability to move from interviewing one of my good high school friends to somebody that does vocal sound effects and ended up doing the theme music for this. That theme you hear at the beginning, I say at the end of every episode, I want to thank Zero Boy. That's a vaudevillian performer. His episode with me was just chaos. It was pure fun. He let the sound effects loose. And then you go to that to a psychic. And then you go to someone that says they've been in a UFO. And obviously time travel. I love that in an ancient history and even a little bit of philosophy. Next month I'm interviewing a psychoanalyst. I love it. That's the idea. People for so long asked me, Greg, what is this show about? And I would struggle because I really wanted them to get this. And as a listener, you might empathize. Because this show really isn't about one thing. It doesn't go from... I mean, it goes on the fringe, sure. We've got the fringes. But to describe that to the lay people, you could say UFOs. I'd say what I say at the beginning, right? I said it's a theme park for the intellect and imagination. It's the supernatural, the paranormal, the esoteric, the magic, the hypnotic. All those kind of things. I was wondering, are we talking about taboo topics for a while? I thought this was kind of a taboo space where we talk about the things that aren't mainstream values and mainstream topics, even. They go against the common narrative. But now I'm realizing at the end of the day, the thing that I've always wanted on this show, and even it's how I've brought you some of my favorite guests, is just to have my mind bent. I love mind-bending conversations. What is Open Loops? It's a forum for mind-bending conversations. And if it goes into conspiracy, sure. If it goes into the paranormal, if it's science fiction, if my mind can get bent about the process of creativity, about writing. I mean, one of my favorite episodes I ever did was with, and you can go way back and listen to it, Ariana, of Ariana and the Rose, Ariana DiLorenzo, who went to the Stella Adler Studio of Acting with me. We graduated from NYU in 2011. She was just on Samantha Bee. Her show over on TBS, Full Frontal. This girl's rising to the top. And I thought, you know what? She is doing some really interesting things with pop music and live performance. I want to hear about the creative process. I want to hear what goes on in her head. I want to know the reality of what it means to be a live performer these days. See, this is it. Anything can be mind-bending. Ideally, it's mind-bending, but it's also mentally stimulating. And I'm going to keep doing that. Because I haven't even... Look, you got a guy that saw a time travel experiment. You got someone that was in a time travel experiment, Andy Bishago. But what about somebody that was on the time travel project that Layman Wessler told us about in the last four episodes? Layman told me we might be able to get someone who he knows time traveled. There's other perspectives to talk about. We've gone a little bit into underground military bases and subterranean worlds with extraterrestrial, but we haven't even really tapped the surface of that. I want to popularize hypnosis and mind technology more. This last event I did, Humanity Unplugged, put on by Watchers Talk and Full Spectrum Universe, shout out to Omar and Rob, I gave a talk on how to explore the internal. That's something we go into a lot in this show, because if there's anything I've realized across these fields, and I didn't know that before I started Open Loops in June of 2020, it's that the very structures that we're blown away by, the mysteries, the monoliths, the pyramids, these wonders of the world, they are a reflection of the processes of energy going on inside of us. There is a connection, there is a conscious connection that indigenous peoples and magicians, shamans, mystics have been talking about for millennia that all connects. Now, some of these people, sure, they buy into a lot of things that others might call conspiracy theories. At least the ones that talk about the indigenous peoples, right? Like, sort of the secondhand person. I don't know if there's a Hopi tribes person that is really anti-jab. I'm sure there is, but, you know, they're not concerning themselves with modern politics. It's often the second degree person. I'm a researcher of Hopi culture, and let me tell you my political beliefs as well. But the thing that is undeniable about everything I've talked about so far with people on the show is that there are these beliefs and cultures that are wildly creative. I sometimes have this debate about ideas and how we've been conditioned. And I want to share this with you. I really want to make this clear. We've been conditioned. I was conditioned. And this is where I believe we were absolutely programmed at a certain age. I was conditioned to believe that because the Greeks created gods for everything, love, the weather, the sea, the sky, everything, because they created that, they were primitive people. Can you relate to that at all? How many times were you told that these cultures before us... Now look, there was a... Violence was definitely something. The Romans, when you think of the Colosseum, and the fact that it was human versus lions, yeah, that's not something we want to bring into today when we're going, oh, why can't we have the technology of Atlantis? They probably did some messed up stuff, too. You don't talk about the messed up. You don't talk about the donkey shows in Atlantis, all right? I guess we still do those. Yeah, we still do those now. But, and mostly in Thailand. But, yeah, you don't hear about that, the messed up stuff. You hear about the technology. You hear that, oh, if we could only go back to a better time when we were all telepathic and one love and all this stuff. Look, sometimes it's hard to believe. It is. There's various proofs that there were, and certainly the work of Michael Cremo, Forbidden Archaeology, a lot of people, I mean, Jared Murphy, who's on my show, who wrote the book, It's Not Aliens, It's Us. These out-of-place artifacts... Göbekli Tepe, places on the earth where there are structures that couldn't have been made naturally that don't line up with the history. I believe that is a thing. It is real. There are some mysteries. There may have been a culture advanced. I don't know if they were more advanced than us, but advanced in their way that we've turned our back on. Because we created a linear narrative. I love this idea of the Vedic evolutionary theory that Michael Cremo, who, again, Forbidden Archaeology, it's a massive book. I haven't even really read it myself, but I just know it is the book to refer to. So I'll admit that I haven't read his book, but I've certainly been on summits where I've seen him speak, and it's just remarkable how much of an influence he is. He believes that this evolutionary theory put on by Darwin is kind of limiting, and that there's a lot of support based on cultures throughout the world that we started advanced, and then we devolved, and then we re-evolve, and then we go back and forth. It's a different approach. Everyone right now is talking about non-linear reality. Whether it comes to a manifestation, you hear about quantum jumps, quantum physics in general, the entire field is that things aren't deterministic. We can't say that this particle is always going to go here, you're always going to do this. There are different forces that we're not aware of that interfere. Now, You could look at that and say, yes, but these different forces are determined by someone on a higher level, and then on a higher level of that, those choices are determined and blah, 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 blah. But when it comes to everyday living, if you can map out where you're going to be exactly with the person that you're going to be with in the same exact way that you want in the next 5 years, for instance, and you can actually step by step do that to the future, walk that path, I'm not going to want to hang out with you because you're dead inside. Really, I mean, this is, life is about the spontaneity. And even when it comes to personal achievement and personal development, the ability to engage uncertainty, dance with it, is one of the favorite ways. I love hearing about that. Dancing with uncertainty and making it into something beautiful. That is the fruit of existence. I was in San Diego this past weekend. Haven't been in years. And I was just staring outside in La Jolla, looking at the ocean, looking at the houses. And I experienced beauty in a new way that I wasn't even expecting to. And it made me really appreciate that area and give more life to my internal experience of, well, the United States, into type of paradise, locations, places I want to live in the future, things to aspire to. Nonlinear. I didn't block out, Greg, you're going to San Diego, go look around and see that it's nice. As a matter of fact, I probably looked at that as a deterrent. But I guess I wasn't expecting to be taken aback by it. So, when it comes to embracing creativity in reference to creating a story about the universe, creating understanding a reality that we might not understand as a collective, but only something that you can experience internally and you can attempt with mere words or gestures and tonality to pass that along to others, like the Greeks did, or like the people of India creating Hinduism and all the mythologies of the world. I mean, there is an act of creativity here that seems to come from a source that isn't, shall we say, it's not direct. It's not, I mean, that's what we were taught, right? We go, oh, sky, we see other humans like us. We know that there's a hierarchy. So therefore, we look up at the sky. We see a thunderbolt. It's Zeus. It's a king type person. We attach that creativity. Sure, it feels primitive, right? That's what explains these legends. It's just the easiest explanation that we have. But then you start looking into the myths a little more. Then you start reading between the lines, and you read this Vedic mythology, and you read Greek mythology, and even the Bible to a certain extent, and you can almost start to see that in the Sumerian tablets, for instance, the Anunnaki. You see that some of it could be metaphorical. Some of it feels way more complex than just explaining natural forces and giving it something. These are there's a reason that these mythological stories from the past are still told today, just in different forms. We've taken these old stories, these ancient legends, and we've adapted them. Shakespeare took them, made them something. Hollywood takes these stories and makes them something. This isn't just primitive thinking. Like the pyramids, it's way more complex. These people had the ability to understand and communicate dynamics within the human condition. If you read the stories and the myths about the gods and the goddesses And all these creatures, they describe underlying energetic principles. There's mysticism. One could argue that we're taking away something, we're putting meaning onto something, that we're giving more credit, but at the same time, like I said, these stories hit a certain spot, an almost immaterial spot inside of you that makes you recognize truths about the universe. Even the story of Hercules, proving to his dad that he's good enough without him. I mean, these are the stories that require a depth of understanding the soul and dynamics, interpersonal dynamics, in a somewhat contemporary way, but communicated in a much more magical way, in a way that we've lost touch with. I mean, think about this. Here's a thought experiment. If you did believe the world, are we... Okay, two thoughts came to me, so I need to make sure to speak the first one first. Do we think that if we all believed things were more magical, that we'd actually be able to live more magically? We'd have a greater sense of wonder about the world. We wouldn't be so attached to sitting behind synthetic versions of reality. Now, this is where, and this is another thing I love about the quote-unquote spiritual, occult, new age, spiritual, hippy-dippy community that I love so much and sometimes am tangentially a part of even. They are so about destroying the illusion and going for what's real. Our parents did not go to school to be behind computers all the time. Now, a lot of them ended up becoming computer friendly. I know that my parents ended up doing jobs where computers really helped them out a lot because they were doing things manually. Dad's a doctor, mom was an accountant. They were my mom was using early versions of, spreadsheets and whatnot, but still, I think the computers enhanced their job versus the computer is the life, the work, the economy. It's about what's happening on the internet, what could happen more on the internet. Sure, we have basic needs, but the reality becomes screen-based and you're no longer attached to the earth. There is no magic. Now, here's what's interesting. The flip side, though, is that, well, wouldn't you think that Atlanteans would have iPhones? It's a different kind of magic, this community would argue, because it's magic that is much more activated by spirit, what I was saying before. It's something, the ability to connect to the energy inside of yourself to turn these things on and have telepathic experiences with others, to make things levitate, to a much more grounded sense of advancement that is powered by the human spirit rather than an artificial one that's just been created for capitalism. Again, I'm more than 200 episodes in. I've barely scratched. I said tap the surface earlier. I'm sure you noticed. I've barely scratched or tapped or broken the lid of this creme brulee of discovery that I want to get deeper into, because that is a cool notion of reality. It feels better, doesn't it? You're not putting, as a matter of fact, computers and screens suck away your consciousness. You're not using your mind in that way, that other part of your mind that you know how to use so well, right? Or you're learning as you're listening to my words to use it even better. And the thing with these cultures is that these stories are the oldest form, the narrative form, the level of wisdom that gets passed down through these tales, through these conjectures and descriptions of the way spirit works, we only have so much evidence. Sure, we've heard that things were passed down, that they probably told these stories in the street, and that's how they describe reality, but what makes you think that people in the ancient times weren't as capable as making... Actually, I'm pretty sure there's good proof that they were capable of metaphors. So if they're telling metaphors about this invisible reality that can only be described through creating mythical forms and gods and telling stories, then what is that reality that seems to travel from generation to generation? Seems like it's energy, right? That's what it comes down to, the principles of energy, the universal energy. That's funny that it always comes down to that. Magic ends up being energy, and energy is such a vague word. It's such a nominalization. You can't put energy in a wheelbarrow, but energy healers and electromagnetic energy, it can be used to describe a lot. It can be used to answer a lot of things, and it almost is completely meaningless at the same time. Like the best hypnotic words are. And that's what makes it so powerful. So, past 200 shows in, I'm still wrestling with this notion that, well, you know, we know more. We are, because we are of this age and epoch in time, we know more than they did, which makes us superior, which makes us able to dismiss away those thoughts. I don't think that's... I just don't think that's the case. No one's written anything as beautiful as Shakespeare ever since. And he was more advanced than some of the best writers we have working today. So who's to say that doesn't go the same way when it comes to matters of the spirit? Are we going to dismiss every single occult book ever written? These old, old books, grimoire, these spell books. I mean, are we really going to say that all these people were just delusional? They used their words and decided to create this mystical thing? Why did the mystical, that's what's interesting. Why did the mystical mind, the magical mind, come before the making sense of reality mind? Darwin's evolution would make it seem like, oh, you see a rock? Oh, this is an object. Okay, what do I do with it? Instead, we had this jump in believing in mysticism. And again, I know you might listen to this and go, Greg, it's because they were stupid. They didn't know science existed. And it is more of a logical jump. You hear a noise in the woods, you assume it's a ghost. Right. But that doesn't explain all of it. It doesn't explain the entire cultures that were founded under this. There's a complexity. Again, there's a complexity in the myth-making that, if it isn't just the act of divine creativity that I believe we all have in us and are discovering more and more as we keep quickening the ascension of society, then it must be extraterrestrials, right? That's what I love about the whole extraterrestrial thing, that the notion of the Bible, I mean, Paul Anthony Wallace and his books, Scars of Eden, talking about the extraterrestrial presence could explain a lot of the anomalies in the Bible. That's where the devolution theory comes in, that there's other life off planet, and we've made stories about it to make sense of it throughout the ages because we haven't been able to say anything otherwise. And, I mean, have you ever heard indigenous Native Americans, they call them star people? They're referring to the same thing. Why do cultures all around the world talk about the ET thing? I am much more of a believer on that front than I was in the beginning. So, yeah, I mean, if you're looking, if you're out there and you're looking to, well, leave some kooky banana stuff, start a podcast about it. It's one of my greatest recommendations. So, we've done a lot. We've done a lot of shows. I know early on I talked about how a lot of this is also, I'm going to be honest about my journey. My journey as a broadcaster. Even as I was recording this, I was thinking, my gosh, you've become so much more confident than those early episodes, Greg. Yeah, I guess it comes with the territory. Yeah, certainly I am. You know, I'm still, and you hear it in interviews, I'm still looking at, well, I'd love to do this all the time. How do I monetize this? Do I get on the radio? Do I, you know, put out a product for all of you about hypnosis? I know there are a lot of people that want to learn self-hypnosis and, thinking of doing that. I've told you I've started seeing people for hypnosis. And I have a lot of, ideas around ways of, making it a little more loopy, a little more, I mean, if we're talking about the pyramids and the UFOs, why not have you experience what it's like to be in a UFO in the hypnotic trance? It's very close. It gets you there. So I do that, but, where this podcast is going to go, maybe even creating another podcast, but the whole open loops thing is that we just keep opening up new doorways, and I feel a lot of love towards this show. I feel a lot of reverence towards it. I love going from a life coach to a witch the next day to a stoner girl from weedtube.com. We've covered a lot of ground looking back at these episodes, especially as we start to get into the interviews. I mean, the military medium, Jesse Jordan, recording artist, shaman woman, Chaja. I mean, such great people. People I'm going to have on again, for sure. I love doing that show. I'm curious, you know, because there was so much love for the Time Traveler series, I'm curious what you want to see more of. I mean, let me know. You can follow me on Instagram at the Greg Bornstein. You can write me greg@open-loops.com. Hey, if you think you can bend my mind, I want you to come on the show. I really do. I'd love to hear your perspective. That's my goal. One of my favorite posts I ever put up to get guests to this show was, I want someone to come on my podcast and change my entire perspective of how reality works in under an hour. Who's up for the challenge? I got so many people. Now, that said, a lot of people were covering, let me tell you something. If you're listening to this right now, I've heard that we are capable of making choices that manifest reality because of quantum theory and the split experiment. Don't bother. Don't bother with that. Don't bother with perception creates reality. I've heard it all. I'm curious. But if you think you're up for the challenge, reach out to me. My gosh, I want to constantly. If you want to come on and say, hey, Greg, your entire show is a farce, and let me give you an intellectual explanation why, I'll have you on. Why not? Go ahead. I'll definitely, you know, feel hurt inside, but I'm ready for it. Wow. I'm just looking back at the episodes from the past here. There is so much weird stuff. I mean, intellectual escapist versus escapist intellectual early on. Those first 10 to 12 episodes were just me talking. It was pretty wild. Swapcast 2020 with my friend Evelyn Lorena. The public speaking coach. Yes, Brendan, Alan Curry talking about the rockstar lifestyle. Yeah, there was a lot of good stuff in here. And the best part is, if you were to sum it all up, my friend Jerome Calver calls it the infinite living mind. Sometimes we're looking at what makes the mind infinite and infinitely interesting, and what can feel infinitely interesting for your mind. That loop, that's the looping process. But do not worry. I'm not ending things anytime soon. I can't. I was in La Jolla the other night, and four people were sitting at this Mexican restaurant. They said they just came from seeing a magician. I immediately pulled out a deck of cards. They were stunned. I performed a card trick for them. They looked at me and said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Look up Open Loops Podcast." So now I have to keep putting out episodes for them too. Thank you for. I really enjoyed meeting you. Yes, I'm having a blast doing this. Again, I am so grateful for you. I just wanted to take a brief pause. Thank you for listening. I'm going to keep exploring myself on this show. I'm going to keep exploring the world, get to the bottom of these answers. Maybe I'll do at some point I'll go through these episodes and give you a brief, do I believe it? Do I not believe it? What should you get? What should you not? That's useful and practical for your life. And what's wildly impractical, but fun to think about. A lot of these episodes are that, okay? But it's okay, because mind-bending for the sake of mind-bending is worth celebrating. I love you a lot. I appreciate you listening. Rondi McGilvery, thank you for the theme music. Zero Boy, thank you for the pre-theme music. We have a very strange interview coming up on Thursday. As always, I look forward to sharing it with you. Take care.